One love for me was shown. Yes, Lord, He is forever. I will be all for the love He gave to me. When He suffered all alone, long in anguish deep was He. Oh, weeping there for you and me. For our sins to Him were alone. Yes, and we should love Him. Oh, for the might and the anguish that He bore in Gethsemane, be alone. Oh, and oh, what love. Yes, matchless love. You ought to sing that like you mean it. Yes, oh, what love. What love for me was shown. Yes, the Lord is forever. I will be all for the love He gave to me. Oh, when He suffered all along. Oh, what love. Matchless love. That means there is no other love that can compare. Oh, what love for me was shown. His, that's Jesus, God's. Forever I will be for the love that He gave for me. But it's when He did it in Gethsemane alone. We don't give Jesus enough credit for the suffering that He went through before going to the cross. We don't give enough credence to the pain that Jesus had to endure in order to take our sins and to nail them to the cross. As a matter of fact, sometimes I often put an asterisk by Jesus' name. We say things, even sometimes out loud, sometimes in our hearts, we say things like, well, He was the Son of God. Well, He had all power. Yeah, all of that, I understand why you say that, but I want you to understand that in this moment, in Gethsemane, Jesus is 100% man, and He is going through or getting ready to go through the fight of His life. And He don't have to do it, y'all, but He does. But for some, I don't understand, but somehow Christians don't give Jesus enough credit for what He did for us. You say, how do you know? We don't thank Him enough. Y'all, I can look at, we don't thank Him enough. We don't serve Him enough. We don't praise Him enough. See, if we really truly understood who Jesus was and what He went through, we will spend our every waking moment thanking Him, serving Him, praising Him, because He went through a lot. I'm trying to help you. Hopefully by the end of this lesson, you have a better, more convicted love for Christ. But for somehow, I don't understand how in the world we let someone, God gave His only begotten Son, and He died a cruel death, and we'll walk around here like we don't know no better. Yeah. Well, the most importantly, we need to learn from Jesus how to overcome when we go through adversity. See, there's a lot to be learned in Gethsemane. There's a whole lot to be learned in Gethsemane. See, we look to mama, we look to daddy, we look to Oprah, we look to Dr. Phil, but when it comes to overcoming adversity, we do not look to Jesus. And I understand why, because there was a time in my life where I thought to myself, well, Jesus could not have gone through what I went through. I read it. I thought I understood it in the Bible, but I didn't quite embrace the idea that Jesus did everything that he did. So a lot of times what will happen is that because we don't embrace who Jesus is and what he did, we'll look to outside external forces to try to get through our pain. And if we want to know how to overcome when we are faced with adversity, when we're faced with difficulty, when we're faced with anxiety, when we're faced with anguish, when we're faced with depression, when we're faced with all of those things, we need to look to Jesus. Well, why do you say that? Because everything that you can possibly feel, from hurt, pain, betrayal, anxiety, depression, Jesus felt all of those things. See, you say, what do you mean, dog? There ain't no way. Yes. The only way that he could be a perfect example for you and I is because he had to have gone through what you and I go through. See, he can't speak to your problem. He can't heal you of your problem if he had not experienced it himself. Y'all follow me? Okay, so we need to look to Jesus for our method, for our ways to overcome the things that we go through. Now, I want you to understand, in Gethsemane, it was a rough day. I changed the title of my sermon, because this morning when I woke up, the name of the sermon was, that had to be rough. Had to be rough in Gethsemane. Jesus in Gethsemane was lonely. He went to a familiar place. The Bible said he went to the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Mount Olives. That was a place where he went to regularly. The reason why I know he went to regularly, because that's what the scripture says. And you know, let me tell you how good Jesus was. Jesus went someplace where he knew, everybody knew he was going. Watch this. He went to a place where he knew, everybody knew he frequented. Even though he knew he was going to be betrayed by Judas. Watch this. Judas knew where Jesus hung out. Y'all not following. Judas knew when Jesus wanted to come and get an opportunity to rest, to sleep, to pray, he knew where Jesus went. Jesus knew that he was going to be betrayed. He told his disciples at the Last Supper, one of y'all finna mess me up. Jesus knew it was Judas. He knew that Judas knew where he was gonna go when he needed to pray, but he went there anyway. Y'all not following me? If Jesus didn't wanna die for you, he could have picked a new spot. Y'all not understand. See, Jesus knew Judas was coming to get him. But he went, see, Judas didn't have to look hard for Jesus. He knew exactly where to go, because that's where he went all the time. Jesus could have said, you know, normally I go to Mount Olives, but because I know Judas getting ready to mess me up, I'm about to go to over there. And then Judas would have had trouble trying to find Jesus. But Jesus knew what the purpose was, so he went where he normally went, because he knew he had to be betrayed for you and I. Y'all follow me? He went to a familiar place of refuge. He took his three homeboys. Come on, y'all. He went to a place where we go, and he took the friends that he liked, the guys that had been with him, the same three that were on the Mount of Transfiguration. Y'all follow me? But he still was alone. He went to a familiar place with familiar people, but still had to walk alone. That's a lesson for you. There's going to be certain things in your life that you got to do by yourself. It doesn't matter who you bring. It doesn't matter how good of a friend they are. It doesn't matter what they have gone through with you. There's sometimes you just got to be by yourself. And I know it's awfully lonely. My grandfather used to like a song, and my father used to sing it when we were little. He'd say, Jesus walk that lonesome highway all by himself. And daddy would say, Jesus had to take every step that he took all by himself. There are going to be some things that you will just have to go through. But you can. Can't nobody help you. Mama can't help you. Daddy can't help you. Sister, brother, best friend, he can't help you. But see, the difference is, unlike Jesus, when in the loneliness of Jesus, when we go to our garden of Gethsemane, he meets us there. When we go, that's why I said that song couldn't have been no better. When I go to you in prayer, I know you meet me there. But there's some things, y'all, you're just going to have to go through. But I need you to understand that if you are facing loneliness in your life, if you're lonely, you don't have to say amen. If you're facing loneliness, if it seems like, man, I got all these people around me, and I'm in a familiar setting, but I'm still by myself. Yeah, y'all not, wait. Don't make me work too hard, y'all. There are times when you have friends around you in the place where you used to go in, and you still feel lonely. Jesus did it first. You can learn some from him. Continue to walk. Continue to pray. Continue to be connected to God, because there are some things you have to go through. It just is what it is. It is what it is. I've been in my mama and daddy's house. In my room. They 15 feet away. Will come if I call their name. And been lonely. Anybody ever been like that? You can make it. Jesus not only suffered loneliness, Jesus suffered a tremendous amount of agony. And this section here, I really want you to understand, because when we see what Jesus went through, I think it will give us enough faith, enough courage to go through some of the things that we go through. Jesus went through a lot of agony. See, nobody want to die at 33. Raise your hand if you want to die at 33. I'm 37. I don't want to die. And this ain't got nothing to do with the fact that I know I'm going to see Jesus in peace. I just want to be here. Nobody wants to die at 33. And on top of that, nobody wants to die at 33 and go through the agony of the cross. Yeah, I'm trying to get you in Jesus' mental state now. Because Jesus is going through some stuff. He's going through some stuff. And I know when you think, you said, but Lord, I'm going through some stuff. He knows. He knows what you're going through, because he's been through it. Jesus had the supreme struggle of submitting to God's will. Anybody ever not want to submit? Come on, wait a minute. I wish I had a church, bro, prior. Anybody ever go through a stage of your life where you just don't want to submit to God's will? Jesus struggled. He struggled with the will of God this time. You can't read this story and not understand the struggle. The kids say the struggle is real. Jesus is going through some stuff. This ain't no play. This is not Shakespeare. This is real life. And Jesus understands that his decision during this struggle can impact the whole world. If Jesus decides to not submit at this time to the will of God, he frustrates the plan of salvation. He frustrates the redemption plan. Now you say, why you say frustrate instead of ruin? Well, because I believe it was God's plan, he would just figure out another way to get it done. I'm just saying. But he didn't have to, because he sent his son. He didn't have to. But Jesus is going through some rough stuff, y'all. He is in deep, deep, deep grief. Bible says that he lays on his face to pray. Now here, this is the same man who people have laid down on their face to pray to him. But at this point in time, this is not, he's prostrate. That means this is not about me being the son of God. This is about me being the son of man, and I'm struggling to get through this. I'm talking about a deep level of grief. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the lose your child grief. I'm talking about the know I'm struggling through this grief. I'm talking about the grief that nobody else can help you through. Jesus went through it. He grieved so bad that his body began to respond. Luke says he was in anguish and prayed even more earnestly. His sweat became like drops of blood falling on the ground. If you look at the true interpretation, it says that his sweat was of blood falling on the ground. I'm trying to help you understand this. That anxiety, grief, anguish, depression, all of that Jesus is experiencing in that moment. All of that. I want you, don't you ever in your life say, my Savior wasn't anxious. Yes, he was. He didn't thin, but he was anxious. Don't you ever say my Savior didn't have extreme grief. Don't you ever say that my Savior was not down and in the dumps and depressed. He had that moment. And he had to have that moment so you can go through your moment. He's down, y'all. His body began to respond. Look, he was sweating blood. Let me help you with this. That's a real thing. And let me say, so y'all might help me. It's hemotidrosis. See, I didn't go to med school, but I know phonics. Hemotidrosis, it's when the capillaries, the tiny vessels in your blood, break open. And they get inside the sweat glands. And the sweat that normally will come out actually comes out as blood. Well, what's the cause of that, Brother Mason? Extreme stress, fear, facing death, torture, ongoing abuse. What I'm trying to tell you is Jesus was down. He was down. It wasn't nothing. He was low. He's out here right now, and he knows he's the Son of God. But right now, he's saying, Lord, oh, Lord, please don't do this. They finna give me. Lord, whatever it is you do, please. Y'all ain't never been there? Please, Lord, pick another way. Hemotidrosis looks like this. Come on. You see that? Jesus was at the Garden of Gethsemane sweating blood for you and for me. He's low. Ain't no help coming. He thought he had three friends to help him. They went to sleep. He came for him a couple of times and said, man, y'all couldn't stay up at all. And Jesus persisted. He's persistent now. He keeps going back. After he goes to find his friend asleep. He come back and pray the same thing. He keeps on asking God, please deliver me from this stuff. And you know what he's saying? Well, some people say it's not blood. No, it's blood. And you know how I know? It's because of who wrote it. See, in all four Gospels, only one person said he sweat his blood. That was Luke. Y'all know what Luke did for a living? He's a doctor. Yeah, Jesus struggled, but he prayed for deliverance. And here, this is what you got to understand. Listen, y'all, sometimes you got to pray for deliverance. Listen, when you are emotionally stressed, your body feels two different emotions, fight or flight. Jesus was going through this. What you mean? Jesus was trying to decide, do I want to fight this? Do I want to go on somewhere else? Lord, I need you to, I want to run. I just need you to tell me it's okay to run, Lord. I need you to say, I'm going to do something else. And I say, okay, thank you. He was trying to figure out, what do I do next? Jesus is facing the kind of anguish, and he's praying to God for another option. Anybody ever pray to God for another option? Man, I hear what you're saying, Lord, but give me something else. You know, like the kids. I had a kid the other day. come into school, and he walked out of class. I walked down the hallway, he had the paper in his hand. And I said, "Kiangelo, what are you doing, son?" He said, "Man." I said, "What's going on?" He said, "Look at this." I looked at it, I said, "Yeah, it's your test." He said, "I don't know this." I said, "Well, son, you got it." He said, "Can't she give me another test? Give me something else that I know." I said, "No, son, this is the test." Jesus was saying, "Lord, give me another option. I don't want to have cancer. Give me something else. I don't want to lose my child. Give me some. I don't want to be broke. Find another way to teach me, Lord. Find another way to engage me. Give me something else. A prayer for deliverance. Let this cup pass." Do y'all hear me? Now see, because I want you to understand that this prayer for deliverance is, now remember the title was In Gethsemane Alone, Praying Through Your Pain. So write this down, because there's three prayers that you got to have in order for you to get there. You got to pray at some point in time for deliverance. You got to. But you can't stay there. What do you mean? What do you mean? A prayer for deliverance. And this, the people don't like when you say this. A prayer for deliverance, when the Christian prays for their own will, that is the lowest level of prayer that exists. When I'm praying just about me, that's a low-level prayer. When I'm saying, "Lord, deliver me. Lord, help me. Lord, bring me through," I am at the bottom of the prayer. I'm trying to help you. See, because what happens is, sometimes, and I think my slides got out of order, sometimes that's the reason why we can't ever win our battles. It's because we stay at, "Lord, help me." See, and you got to understand. See, Jesus started off with, "Lord, help me." He said, "Lord, you know, Lord, just bring me through." If you look at it, then there's a word there. The word then is, "Nevertheless." However, but what that means is that, "Lord, I need you to deliver me. But if you cannot deliver me, let me change my paradigm and let me just walk in your will." See, sometimes we struggle because we keep on saying, "Deliver me." That's where the battle's lost. We never, ever, ever release our will for the will of God. And see, Jesus, when he has his conversation, you can tell that his mindset shifted. And you could tell that he had an extreme trust for God. See, because he said, "Abba, Father." When you research this word, you realize that Abba is a word in that time period that is only used by small children talking to their daddy. What Jesus is saying is, "Daddy, it's me." This is not no formal conversation. This is not him saying, "Oh, Father, thou art in heaven." No, he's saying, "Daddy, I'm calling you like a child in need. I trust you, Lord, but I'm calling on you like a child in need." See, there's some things that when you talk to your daddy, you just got to talk to him like a child. At this moment, Jesus is getting ready to show, you see his terminology, "Abba, Father, Lord, help me." Abba, he's saying, "Lord, I can't do it by myself. Daddy, remember me. Remember your child. Remember the one you love. Remember the one who is weak. Remember this. I need you to know that this is not just anybody calling you, Lord. It's me." And he had to trust. See, there is something. This is how you know the paradigm is shifting, is because of the language that he used. See, when you trust God, even when you don't want to, you just got to do what he say. See, Jesus took a stance of humility when he said, Abba, Father. You won't even see it that much in Scripture. When he said, Abba, Father, he said, oh, Lord, Daddy. See, let me help you. My daughter is afraid of some stuff. I'm trying to help you. She's afraid of some stuff. And she won't even go in to see some stuff. I told y'all, she don't fool with clowns too much. I don't like clowns either. Figuratively and literally. But she don't like to do it. But when she see a clown and she get a little nervous, she come and get close to me. Come on. She come and get close to me. And I can say, listen here, we're going to go right past this clown. And ain't nothing going to happen. And you know what she does? She start walking. Come on, come on. She start walking. She still is afraid of the clown. But she trusts her daddy. Jesus is saying, I'm a father. It's me. I don't want to go through this. But I trust you. I trust you anyway. Sometimes when you pray, stop asking God to deliver you. Just say, I trust you, Lord. Here I come. We too busy asking to get out of it. What he's saying, come on, I'll get you through. That's what he said. I told you it was out of order. Nevertheless, lest thou will be done. There's a paradigm shift when you trust Jesus. You can't always get delivered. Y'all hear me? You can't always get delivered. Sometimes you just got to go through. Deliverance is about your will. But our job is to align ourselves with his will. First point, pray for deliverance. Second point, have the power to pray for a paradigm shift. Sometimes you just got to leave the deliverance prayer alone and say, Lord, I'm coming with you. Don't lose your battle because you're still asking God to get rid of it. And what he's trying to tell you is the only way to get through it is to go through it. Yeah, you see, when God says he gonna do something, he gonna do it. Let me help you. Y'all remember when the disciples was on the Sea of Jordan? Jordan Sea? I don't know what sea it was. And one of them seas. It's a body of water. How about a body of water? Galilee, that's it. I knew it was, see. Brother Jones, that's my guy. Listen. On Galilee, the Bible said that Jesus, it was dark now. Watch this. It was the fourth watch. That means it wasn't no lights. Y'all hear me? The fourth watch, it wasn't needing no lights. But before they got on the boat, he said, I'll see you on the other side. Watch this. It's the fourth watch. That means it was dark. Have y'all ever seen it in the dark? What can you see in the dark? All right. But the Bible says Jesus saw them. Watch it. And then he says that Jesus was walking on water. Oh, this is the best part. And he intended to pass by. Why is he passing by? Because I already told you I'll see you on the other side. I don't need to help you. The ship was doing all this kind of stuff. But he said, no, I'm gone. I don't need to stop this thing together. Why? Because I told you I was going to be. Sometimes you just got to trust God. If we say we're going to the other side is where we're going to go. And I don't care what he said. You better believe it. And don't irritate them by not believing it. Like they did. They said, Lord, what you doing? And my daughter do that sometimes. I said, we get ready to go here. Then 2 minutes in the car, what she do, Kayla? She say, Daddy, what we doing? Are we going to make it? Girl, I said we was going. Sometimes you just got to trust that you're going to get through. That's where we lose our battles, is when we don't learn to trust him. And then after we trust him, And we pray for a paradigm shift. You've got to have the courage of Jesus. Jesus said, get up. Go to Mark 14, 42. He said, wrapped up. Let go. Here's your prayer, guys. Lord, deliver me. Well, let me say it the way Jesus said. He said, Abba, Father, everything you do, it's your will. You can do whatever you want to do. Would you please deliver me or let this cup pass? That's his prayer for deliverance. Then he says, nevertheless, I did just call you daddy. Your will be done and not mine. And then after he said that prayer, he went and found them all busted friends of his asleep again. And after he prayed for deliverance and he prayed for the power to shift his paradigm, and after that, he just prayed to proceed into his promise. He said, get up, y'all. It's time to go. When you're going through some stuff and you've prayed for God to pull you out, and then you told him, Lord, I'm just going to follow your will. After you have submitted to the will of God, don't you stay there. Get up and start doing what God said do. Imagine, y'all, imagine if Jesus had said, Lord, move this cup. But if you don't, nevertheless, your will be done. Your will be done, Lord. Lord, you heard what I said. Your will be done. No. The will was to go to the cross. So his belief, the sign, the evidence that he believed in God's will is he said, nevertheless, your will be done. Then he got up and he said, let's go. It's time to move. We're walking in the will of God. There's a time for prayer. The time for prayer and the time for the other garden is over with now. He already prayed. That time is past. What you mean? Listen, there's a time to pray and there's a time to move. Don't you spend all your time just praying. Praying and not moving is actually a lack of faith. When you start moving, that's the reason why it says faith without works is dead. Come on, you got to move. The time for prayer in the garden has passed. Now it's time for action. See, let us face life at this grimace, the most difficult part of life. You got to walk right into it. Jesus got up off his knees and got ready for the battle of his life. What did he say? He said, y'all get up. Why? He here. Who? To betray me. He didn't get up with no misconceptions of what was next. He said, get up, y'all. It's time to move. They're here. And that's what prayer is for. See, in prayer, we kneel before God that we may stand erect before the world. See, we mess up prayer. We mess up prayer for one reason and one reason only. We just pray. Some of us are the best non-moving praying people in the world. If you really trust God, do something. Well, I'm going through a real dark time, Brother Mason. So is Jesus. Ask him to deliver you. He said he not. Fall in his will. What does will say? Get up and move. We will pray. And I understand, I love prayer. But I'm telling you, God don't just want you talking to him. See, why you say that? Watch this. If I pray, Lord, deliver me. And then I say, no, I change my paradigm. I'm going to fall into your will. But then once I say I'm aligning myself with your will, then I don't do anything different. Really? I'm still in deliverance. You see that? Because the will requires you to act. So I can tell myself that I'm actually moving out of a prayer of deliverance into a prayer of God's will. But the truth of the matter is, if I don't move forward with what God's will is, I never left the lowest prayer. Lord, deliver me. Y'all, does that make sense? In prayer, we kneel before God that we may stand erect before the world. In prayer, we enter heaven so that we can face the battles of earth. I love when people come and say, Lord, y'all pray for me. It's important. And I think it's important for each and every one of us to go ahead and get in and start praying for one another. But one of the prayers that we need to do is, Lord, you know, not just let me pray for Brother Solomon. I want to pray for Brother Solomon. For whatever it is he's going through, then I want to pray that he has enough strength to keep on walking in the will of God. We got the saddest prayers. I know, y'all getting ready to be mad at me. Sad prayers. Because all we asking God is, Lord, help me. Lord, just bring me through. God ain't just a Lord, just bring me through kind of God. He's victorious. You got to pray like this through your prayer, through your pain. Pray for deliverance. Pray for the power to shift. Pray for the courage to walk in your purpose. Because that's what Jesus did. Because when Jesus got up, he started walking towards the cross. And how do I know it's Jesus' purpose? Because the Bible says, Jesus said in John 2, destroy this temple. And in 3 days, I'll rise it up again. Jesus knew what he was getting ready to go. He knew it was going to be rough. He knew it was going to be the fight of his life. Oh, my goodness. And they didn't do Jesus. I mean, they whooped him. If you ever want to learn, you ever want to see how bad crucifixion, just one day, just go back and study Roman history and look at how bad crucifixion is. Yeah. See, because what they used to do, you'd be almost dead before you got to the cross. You the right enemy, they whoop you all the way up to there. That's what they call, you know, we talk about when he was whipped and by his stripes we are healed. See, that's what he's talking about. See, Jesus was whipped with what they call a cat of nine tails. Y'all ever heard of that? See, a cat of nine tails is so dangerous because it's not just leather. It's leather with either glass or bone threaded in it. So what the leather does is it whips skin. What the glass or the bone does is it tears the skin. So it hits you, and when you pull it back, it's ripping that skin off. Come on. Y'all, this is why Jesus is sweating blood. He knows what's next. But he rose. Despite what he went through, he kept on walking in his purpose. And I'm so glad that he did. Because when he got up a bad man. Ain't nobody gonna ever whoop Jesus again. And the good thing about it is, they can't whoop me either. Ain't no whoopings going on here. Jesus is my Father. That's my Savior. I remember when I was in high school, and we was getting ready to get in a fight, and one of my close friends, we getting ready to get in a fight, and he was a big joker. And they was about to go down, and I don't know if I was going to win that fight or not, but he stepped in and he said, ain't no fighting happening here. Everybody turned and went the other way. Yes, sir. Jesus steps in front of you and said, ain't no whoopings today. And the devil just runs. That's the reason why the Bible says resist the devil. If you want to look at a good terminology, a good translation, that means hit the devil. Hit him. Don't just stand back and say, devil, I don't want you to do this. Knock him out. And he'll flee from you. Rise up. He, the third day, he rose up. And I'm so glad he did, because that's the salvation story. My God went through the roughest thing, the most pain, the most turmoil. He struggled, but he submitted to the will of God. See, so when I struggle to submit to the will of God, I look to Jesus. When I'm down in my lowest hour, I look to Jesus. And then I realize because he got up, I'm going to be victorious over all the problems that I might face. Might not be victorious in this world right here, but there's another world that's a whole lot better, that I'm going to stay a whole lot longer. You got to fight. But you got to know how to pray. You got to pray for the right stuff. Pray for deliverance. Pray for a paradigm shift. And then pray to walk in your purpose or in the purpose of God. Go ahead and be standing. You can stand up right now. I'm so excited that God is my Savior.